Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Virtue Signal. I'm Bill Whittle, or am I, with my friend Alfonso Rachel, or is he? Today's episode is on reality and the perception of reality and how technology now has become very, very close. We're probably not quite there yet, but we're very, very close to being able to produce images and sounds and so on that are indistinguishable from the truth, but they're not the truth. We were looking at some deepfake videos earlier where they basically can turn you into Tom Cruise or anybody else they want to. The computer looks at your facial expressions, listens to your voice, and then it looks at every one of those expressions, and you feed in millions or hundreds of thousands or whatever pictures of Tom Cruise, and then the computer starts to find which expression of Tom Cruise looks most like you and starts morphing them together and it's doing thousands of iterations a second. It's refining that thing until finally it figures out this is the most perfect match of Tom Cruise's face with your expression, puts it on top. Next thing you know, you're Tom Cruise. So what that means is that in the very near future, it will be essentially impossible to distinguish, at least at eyesight, what's real and what's not. Now, one of the things about this job that is the toughest for me is resisting the temptation to run with a story that seems to be too good to be true. Every time I hear something that just seems to be too good to be true, I just look into it. And in a lot of cases, turns out I saved myself from having my fingers burned. I have a lot of questions about the election in 2020, but one of the videos that came out showed people basically reading a ballot and then another person was marking it down. And it turned out in that individual one case that there was actually a very good explanation for this. And so I didn't run with that, and I'm glad I didn't. So what do we do about this? So how we live in a world now where we get all of our social contact, all of our information, all of our everything, all the input is coming from a screen with a certain number of pixels on it. And if we can manipulate those pixels to whatever degree we want to, then we have molded whatever truth we want to send out. So what do we do about that?
Oh, man. It's difficult to tell somebody, hey, go outside and play, or tell your kids, you know, when they've got these marvelous things that they can just stare at and look at. And this has been going on for a little while now where people are conditioned. This is an extension of themselves now, right? This is how they view reality. You know, reality is more and more, I guess, becoming virtual. Even grown folks, even myself, you know, a lot of the work that I do involves, you know, being immersed in a screen and constructing things
right
from there. So it's something that's wired into this generation now. And I mean, the same thing that you would have to tell a person, hey, you might want to stop smoking. Hey, you might want to stop drinking. You might want to stop gambling. These things, they get wired into them. And in a way, it becomes an addiction. And for albeit purposes, for a lot of people who do work, you know, with computers, it's a practical addiction, but it's part of our livelihoods. It's part of our habits, you know, now. So and unfortunately, it seems like this thing that's going to grow. And, you know, and if we,
And
you know, it's like basically everybody's becoming like the lawnmower man, right? You know, we're kind of getting pulled into the Matrix. And unfortunately, as you can see in the Matrix, you know, you have these agents who can morph into something else. And as the technology becomes more efficient, if people want to go ahead and say that, yes, because of this face structure and make a convincing case that, yes, this is this person and this person was there. I mean, heck, man, what can you do about alibis? How is even court systems going to be set up about things that are admissible or things that are not? How are we going to go about by doing these things? Because it's been made to believe now, as we have police officers that are being made to wear body cams and stuff like that. If you've got this video proof, what's going to be the new standard of proving or disproving? Well, that's what people wanted. We want the video. We want video evidence.
That's right.
Well, there it is. You know,
right.
How are we going to get around that?
Yeah, if a politician said something and then you could produce video that the guy is cheating on his wife or whatever, and he's just done a press conference, and I would never do such a thing. Mm-hmm. Then you would reply with a snarky answer like, who are you going to believe, me or your own lying eyes?
Mm-hmm.
But now your own lying eyes may actually be lying eyes.
Yeah.
There is no longer – we're rapidly reaching a point where anything that's not witnessed directly in person, which is an incredibly tiny little event horizon in the universe of experiences, right? Mm. I mean, how much of the things are you aware of that's going on today? If you just look at the news today and you think about all of the information you got today, how much of it did you experience firsthand? And the answer is essentially zero. So now we live in a world where the entire environment can be manipulated and faked and so on. And one of the things that you mentioned I'd like to spend a little time talking about too, because we just did a right angle on this, on how we're seeing all kinds of psychological problems with young people, mostly young girls. And a lot of it is coming from Instagram. A lot of it is coming from Instagram because a young person will look at somebody else and they might go, they're so beautiful and they're so happy. Now, some of that was called the Facebook effect, where you only post pictures of yourself having a good time. But now, in fact, for years now, you just get an app, you take a selfie, and it doesn't just smooth out the blemishes. Mm-hmm. It can make your eyes just a little tiny bit bigger, or maybe a little lot bigger. And now you have this idealized image of yourself. This is the, I've built this. I've taken a picture of myself, but I hate it. I look awful. And parenthetically, I might point out, as I did on that right angle show, prior to social media, the number of people with gender dysmorphia, the number of people who feel like they're trapped in somebody else's body, was about 300 times less than it is now, and almost exclusively confined to males at about age 14 at the onset of puberty. Historically, those were the people who were the majority of folks who felt like, I'm trapped in the wrong body. Now, all of a sudden, we have 300 times more cases of this, and they're almost exclusively young girls. Mm. And they're young girls who hate their body because here I am stuck with just a, you know, I'm just a person. Look at all these other fabulous people. So, and furthermore, not only does that happen, but Mark Zuckerberg knows it happens and refuses to talk about it. We did the segment where basically Scott said it's like the R.J. Reynolds, you know, tobacco company in the 60s saying, no. Cigarette smoking is perfectly fine, completely good for you. Mm. So what do we do when it's – I mean, we just talked about the problem with here comes a signal. How do I know the signal's real? But it's actually worse than that because now – we got people who are intentionally falsifying their own signal that they're sending out. This is what I look like. No, it's actually not.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Heavy, and it's like we're waiting for that point, and we shouldn't be waiting. It's going to take being proactive, but even being proactive, it's like there's this wait for this point to when does it register? You know, it's like say for instance, when you got these girls trying to fulfill a certain appearance. You know, they're working those filters until they smoke, right? Trying to put on, you know, like you said, like the widening the eyes and whitening the smile and all that sort of stuff. Yep. And it's like, hey, young lady, while you're trying to do that, trying to emulate somebody else's look, did you ever stop to think that that same person worked them filters the same way to try to-
This is the point. This is exactly the point. This is why this is causing so many young people, especially young girls, to go completely insane, is because this is the kind of social proof thing. It's the emperor's new clothes.
Yes.
The great thing about the emperor's new clothes is nobody sees the clothes, but everybody else is sending signals to you saying that they see it, so you're either crazy or- Yeah, you're probably crazy. And that's exactly what's happening. They look and they, oh my God, I have to do all this manipulation just to look decent. Look at all these beautiful people, but all of those people use the same filters too. And now we get to one of the reasons why I'm so, and have been for such a long time, so deeply worried about spending so much time online and in a screen. It's not just because you can fake it. It's because it disconnects the essence of who you are from what you look like. And you look good on camera. I've seen you in 3D. It's extremely disappointing. But seriously, though, this whole thing is just a very complex dynamic. When you have a chance to sit and talk with somebody in the flesh, you may find that this person is not perfect looking, but neither are you. But you get all kinds of cues and all kinds of things that make this person interesting to you. And I've been saying for 15, 20 years now, that people have said things about me online and said things about you online too that they would never say to our face for two reasons. First of all, because if they did, they'd get their teeth knocked in because some of the things that have been said about me are fighting words. Mm. But more importantly, They wouldn't say them to my face because if they said them to my face, they know they'd be dealing with a real person. You know, I would have a certain reality about it and I would have a humanity that is present. They may not like it, but it's there. When you do everything on a series of flat two-dimensional screens that are connected by rushing electrons and radio waves, then you have fundamentally severed people from the essential humanity that connects them. You've taken all of this expression of internal stuff and just chopped that away and just left just the shell, just the visual exterior. And it's no wonder people are obsessed with that shell because they're becoming convinced that that's it. I am what I look like. That's all. There is nothing else to me. It's not a question of I have a great personality or you know, I'm good with animals or no. It's like, how do you look? That's all we get. And so that's all we care about.
Spot on, man. And, you know, the thing is, what's so enticing right now is the ability to create your own reality. You know, how, you know, this is an environment and, you know, people love the environment and they have their imaginations about the environment and they can create their own environment and they can be who it is that they want to be within this environment. And man, that's very attractive. It's straight up fashionable right now. And that trend, I reckon, is going to grow and people are just, they're looking to really get jacked in. You know, the thing is, and in this reality, they can play, you know, there's the looks of looking beautiful. And then there's also the looks of looking tough and woke and enlightened and all that sort of stuff. And so you'll have these, you know, keyboard commandos, you know, doing their little keyboard karate, you know, trying to say all these hard words, talking loud and saying nothing. Exactly right. They you know, it's like, or typing loud and saying nothing. And would they say these things to us in person? Not likely. And if they do, they're going to come in their Antifa riot gear. We see these people confronting people like we talked about a little while ago. You've got these, you know, Christians out there. You know, it's like whether I agree
did a right angle segment on that. Yeah.
And whether
just
I agree with
people just speaking the gospel in a public place.
Yeah.
And these Antifa thugs coming in and beating them up and smashing their gear.
Right. I mean, these people are disarmed. You know, are unarmed. They're not out there to cause a fight or anything like that. But they showed up in like riot gear. They've got mace, they've got bats, they've got on helmets and all that sort of stuff. It's like, you came?
I hate to interrupt you, but this is a circle I have to close. Huh. We're talking about the superficial versus the internal, and these Antifa guys come out with the riot gear, and they come out with this, and they're all armored up, and they look like badasses, and they think they're badasses, but when somebody stands up to them, they run.
Yes.
They run. There's nothing inside there. That is a costume that they're wearing. It's a Halloween outfit. This is what they think a tough guy looks like, and they wear it. But when they are confronted with things like being arrested, they go down on the ground and start crying.
Yes.
Because the external doesn't match the internal.
It would have been hilarious if they would have showed up and the Christians that were out there would have just started throwing candy at them. Oh, you guys look so cute. Because you know, at Christian meetings, they're always going to have like donuts. You know, it's like, so they got donuts. They say, hey, you guys want a donut? You look so cute in your costume. That would have been hilarious. But
if instead of attacking a group of unarmed Christians, if it had been, 12 special forces guys who were on leave, you know?
Yeah.
Having a good time in a park drinking some beers. I notice they don't attack those kind of people.
They don't attack them.
Because they would make short work out of them. That, yes. I'd pay real money to see. In fact, I'd pay pay-per-view money to see.
Well, as we can see, they don't even go after Islam. They don't go and they don't pull that stuff
in
mosque.
No, because Islam hits back.
Yes, you know? And unfortunately, once, you know, it just a little side trailer, that's another reason why, you know, I get disappointed a lot of times with the church because they take these mysteries from the Bible and they think that the Bible is like some sort of encouragement for abuse. It's not. You actually do have the right to defend yourself. You're not supposed to go out looking for a fight, but when a fight comes to your door, you actually do have the right to defend yourself. I remind folks, you know, hey, Jesus had a militia behind him and let folks know, look, man, I got 12 legions and angels, man, that are ready to get into a hot knife fight. It's just not going to happen because I'm here to do a certain job that nobody else can do. All right. That's the only reason why. But trust me, there is going to be a fight. But a lot of people, they take this and they isolate the scripture and they think that we're just supposed to be submissive. And it's like, no, that's not what the word tells us to do. But once again, that comes down to this separation of of an idea that you think is there versus what reality is. And, you know, as we're looking online and we're seeing people becoming more enveloped and submitted to what they see online, and because it I guess people are taking these things as plausible, people can go ahead and start manipulating it. We're obviously seeing people manipulate information. Heck, man, when you go into any of the search engines, anything that you want to find out, the first thing that's going to come up is everything from a left-wing narrative. And it doesn't to matter which search engine it is. It's going to be all fashioned to make sure that it fits a certain narrative. And that's just the text. That's just the headline images and stuff like that. When we start getting it into where they're just going ahead and making it a habit of just manipulating images, hey, that's what people are going to believe.
Which kind of brings us back to where we were in our previous episode. In fact, where we are on virtually every episode, that there is no external defense against this. The only defense against this is internal. You can think of all of this stuff as a particularly virulent disease out there, as a pandemic of you know, just plain evil in a lot of cases. And it's carefully disguised and well camouflaged. And to think that you can stop it out there is be nice, but it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So now you're stuck with the situation of, okay, so what do we do about this? Well, it's like any other disease. You have to develop internal immunity. You have to be able to protect yourself internally and have enough real self-esteem, enough sense of right and wrong, enough real personal connections to be able to withstand this onslaught. And it's interesting to me, not just interesting to me, it's like dead certain evidence that is so clear that nobody will look at it. When you look at the people who are in prison, especially virtually all of the violent crimes committed by men, when you look at the young men that are in prison and you try to figure out what do these guys have in common, the left would try to like to tell you, well, you know, it's a race issue or it's a class issue. They didn't have enough money. They grew up in underprivileged neighborhoods. All of this. Nope. There's only one correlator, and that correlator is absent fathers, and it actually is even more granular than that. Studies have shown that the people who don't get into trouble, who don't fall into drug abuse or body image things or cutting themselves or whatever, the one thing that they found across the board was that it didn't matter what their religion was, didn't matter what their income was, didn't matter what their race was. The one thing they had in common, believe it or not, was that they got together and had dinner as a family every night. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. And that is the only constant that works across all of these things. People who had families where they got together and spent an hour at home talking at the table don't fall into these patterns. And it's an utter mystery, isn't it? We can't possibly figure out why this weird sense of being able to communicate with people you love and trust and be able to share secrets and be able to talk to somebody about a feeling you have before it comes to the point where you're down in the basement building bombs and loading your AR-15s. And it's so obvious that it has to be destroyed.
Indeed, man. And you know, when I started under my martial arts instructor, you know, when he broke down what self-defense was, he says self-defense isn't just about defending yourself. You have to take it for what it means. You have to start from what it means. Self-defense, defending yourself from yourself. You have to have an internal, just like you're talking about. You know, this is speaking to that.
Really interesting. Defending your self-defense meaning protecting yourself from yourself.
Yes, because if you have to be able to have that, to have a basis of being able to absorb correct information and knowing how to execute the information that you have. You can't do that if you don't have a sense of, you have to have something to calibrate what these things are. And even in that instance, when you go into a confrontation, you have to be so careful to defend yourself from yourself because those faculties can shut off. To where you can get yourself hurt more than and help your opponent hurt yourself than you actually can do a damage to them. So these are very important things to have, and this applies not just in physical confrontations, but whether it's mental, whether it's emotional, things like that. This all translates to that. It's when we're talking about like martial arts, we are talking about the art of war, martial arts, actually coming from the name of the god of war, Mars. That's where we get the term martial, and we talk about martial arts. This war is going to come to you in many different ways, and you have to have that defensive mechanism. And that defensive mechanism also where you're talking about, where as far as fathers are concerned, there's a reason why it's written in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say honor your parents. It says honor your father and your mother. Now,
you say, when you say mother, are you referring to a birthing individual?
No, you know, the word of God can get pretty deep, but it didn't even go convoluted like that, man. I know some people think that the word is convoluted, but man, it didn't. That's a stretch.
It says man and woman. It's like, it's not so hard to figure out.
Yeah, it's just keep it pretty simple. Honor your
third grade level thing.
Third grade level thing.
It's a man,
thing,
that's a woman.
Pretty easy to understand. Father, mother, not your parents, not your father and your father, not your mother and your mother, not your birthing parents, as you put it. Honor your father.
Individuals.
And yes.
Parent is an extremely offensive term, and my feelings are hurt, so shut up.
And you know, the Lord understood that. He knew that, you know, people are going to be offended by this, you know, but I got to write it down. Are you serious, man? You got to write that? Yes, I got to have this written down. Honor your father and your mother. Now, but what does that mean? Does it mean that, well, what if my parents were just crack addicts? Am I supposed to honor that? Am I supposed to be like, oh, you know, my dad was a crack addict, but he was a good old crack addict and the most redeeming functional crack addict I ever knew. No, that's not what that means.
In fact, he won Crack Addict of the Year Award for 1997.
Right.
It was, you know, really quite an achievement.
And he was very generous with his crack. He even let me smoke some with him, you know? Not a stingy man.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Right.
Not at all.
But no, it's
he
like,
would just spread crack around like a puck.
but what it means is that even if your folks were totally toxic and twisted up people, you're supposed to conduct yourself. You should live your life in a manner where people should think that your father was the best person that he should have gotten Father of the Year by the way that you conduct yourself. That's what brings your family honor. You honor your father by the way that you conduct yourself. Even if your father was a total screw up, people shouldn't, it's like they have to go out and find that on their own. They say, man, your father was a total screw up, but you came out amazing. I thought your father would be like totally amazing. I thought your mom would be totally amazing. Well, thank you. Thank you. I am glad that I brought honor to my father and my mother. But that's being taken away from us. More and more, you know, like you said, birthing persons, we're being forced to be removed from this principle of honoring our father.
That's not a family anymore. That's an assembly line.
Exactly.
A birthing person is a component in an assembly line for creating drones.
Yes, but now I hope folks can see why it's important that God would write that in there. Because when these things are taken away, you start more and more with the implosion, you know, of a society. And it's more than fathers. In order even to represent as a father, it more importantly is to represent as a husband. When you break down the word husband, husbandry is tending the garden. That's what it means. It's not just about being the spouse. You are tending your garden. You are making sure you're pruning them leaves. You are making sure that you are doing what is necessary for your family to grow strong, fruitful. That's what a husband does. So, but we're being made to see a different narrative. That's a false social construct. The nuclear family, that's some other moral Christian BS that we're not supposed to follow. We should be doing this, which is totally not just apart from the word of God. It's apart from nature and it's apart from sanity.
Yeah, exactly right. And speaking as a husband, new husband, relatively new husband, I look around at my garden and I think, okay, this is what I'm going to do with my life and my wife's life. We're going to put some tomatoes down here. We're going to have a little bit of patch of flowers over here. We'll put carrots down there. And then around the outside edge of the garden, we're going to offset it with a decorative ring of Claymore mines. And it's going to be absolutely beautiful. This side toward enemy. And I'll just walk everywhere with my little switch. It's getting tough to be a decent person out there, folks, but it's always been tough to be a decent person out there. So let's stop whining about it and just go on and get going with it. The human connection, the family connection, the personal connection is the essence of civilization and decency. And you cannot hate somebody enough to want to kill them if you're in the same room with them. Mm. present company accepted, of course. For all of the members at BillWhittle.com, I'm Bill Whittle, or am I? And this is my friend Alfonso Rachel, or is he? Mm-hmm. And this has been The Virtue Signal. Or has it?